Hello and welcome back. I'm Steve G. Jones, your guide, your mentor, your friend, as we look at how to pick up men. Your friend, as we look at how to pick up men. How are you going to accomplish this? And I'll tell you what, once you do accomplish it, you're going to do it again and again and again, as often as you need to, of course, until you find your ideal man. Maybe that'll happen the first time around, but at least you're going to be well-suited to do this. Something that you thought maybe in the past was a challenge, or maybe you're picking up the wrong kind of men, or who knows. Now you're going to be able to pick up any man you want because you're going to be equipped with the knowledge that you need to go out and make that happen. In this module, module 2, we're going to look at getting a date, and we're going to look at the first date. First impressions are very important, and many times your looks are the first thing the person's going to see, and they're going to size you up, consciously and subconsciously, the first time they see you. It's not something that we set out to do. We don't think, oh, I'm going to see them, and then I'm going to make all kinds of value judgments about them, but that's what we do. That's what men are going to do when they see you the first time, and that's what you're going to do when you see them the first time. So why not make the best first impression possible? And along those lines, we can look at how can you improve your appearance. Now remember, changing your physical appearance does not change you. It does not change who you are. And anytime you make a change in your physical appearance, it should be in accordance with what you believe to be true about yourself. Make sure that on the outside you are saying what you feel about yourself on the inside. So if you feel you're more of a business person, then portray that. If you feel you're the opposite end of the spectrum and you're more of a hippie, then portray that. But make sure that you do it in a way that's going to be the best way you can portray that. Be the best hippie you can be, or be the best business person you can be. Whatever you do, do it at the highest level. How can you improve your appearance? Well, only you know what you look like. I'm not seeing you right now, but I will give you some pointers, things that really matter when a person sees you. Your hair, your grooming, your teeth, your skin, how you smell, the clothes you're wearing, and of course, as we've already talked about in Module 1, your posture. Make sure, at least for the first date or two, that you're sitting up straight and standing up straight. Show that you have backbone. Okay, so you've already done your preliminary work, and you've gotten yourself into the right frame of mind, realizing that you're good enough to be with the person of your dreams. So you want to make sure that you're making eye contact with the person, because you do feel good about yourself. You're asking his name, and you're saying your name. You're allowing the conversation to flow easily and having things to talk about. You know, when you talk to someone and you say, where are you from? That doesn't give them much to go on. They can say, I'm from Arkansas, or I'm from England, or I'm from Taiwan, wherever they may be from, and then that's it. So when you're asking questions, it's important to give them a question that they can do something with, not a yes or no answer, but something that requires more than that. So what is your favorite thing about where you're from? Or why did you move here? Or what attracts you to this area? You see how those questions are more probing? They give the person a chance to talk more about themselves. So you're keeping the conversation going, you're keeping it flowing, you're finding out information that you want, but you're making sure that the conversation is not going to die. And in my program called Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis, I give a lot of pointers about how to keep a conversation going. I have a whole module about how to do that. But basically what you want to do is make sure that you're not asking questions that can cause the conversation to die. Yes or no questions, or where are you from type questions. Those require only short answers, and it puts the burden on the other person to elaborate. Why not give them a gift? Why not give them a question that requires more and can lead to more? And while they're talking, you can think about other things to say. Not that you have to carry the whole conversation when you're talking to a man, but you want to make sure that things are flowing so that you can avoid those awkward silences where you're both looking at each other or looking around in space and wondering, oh, what am I going to say next or why am I even here? You can avoid all that by keeping conversation flowing. You can keep conversation flowing by asking questions that require a little bit more elaboration than simple yes, no, or informational type answers. You know, this module is all about getting the first date and being on the first date. So when you think about getting the first date, you might think, well, where in the world am I going to start? I mean, I go through my life. I, you know, occasionally maybe have a date. Something comes up. A friend recommends someone. Something happens. But now that I'm being more proactive, how do I do that? And by the way, this is all about being proactive. The hypnotic pickup method is a proactive method. So take yourself out of whatever you were doing that either was or wasn't working. I imagine it wasn't working too well, otherwise you wouldn't have purchased this program. But take yourself out of that mindset that you used to have about just kind of going through your life or trying certain things that maybe didn't work so well, and open your mind to a proactive attitude. And what I want you to do is start joining groups. Join an outdoors group, for example. You know, they go out and they kayak, they go out and they canoe, they do something. Go to local parks. Now, one thing I've noticed about local parks is that there are several ways to experience the park. You can be on a bicycle riding through the park, and that's not going to give you much ability to communicate, is it? I mean, you're riding by someone and, hey, how you doing? Let's have a conversation. Okay, bye. You have passed the person in the time it took you to get out a sentence or two, and then you have to circle back around, and that can be kind of awkward. So if you're there to meet people and you're not part of a biking group, why are you on a bike? Get a dog. Start walking and walk with a dog. If you don't like dogs, then start walking anyway. Find an excuse to walk. You need to make sure that you're slowed down so that you can actually talk to someone. Okay, sports. You can join a soccer or softball or tennis group or team or league or whatever they call it in your area, and you can become involved. You can work out at a local health club. Now, keep in mind, as you're doing these things, as you're getting the first date and so forth, if you join any of these groups and you find out they're not for you, for example, maybe you join the local health club and it just seems to be a meat market, you know, you're there to meet a man, but you know, all the men there seem to be vultures. Okay, that's a possibility. Or you go to the park and it seems to be pickup park. You know, that's where people are going to pick up people, and that's where the men are going to pick up people, and it just seems like it's not really your scene. These things are possible. Or maybe you join the tennis club and it's a bunch of people who are not in your age group. Either they're too young or too old. I want you to think of yourself as a person in a poker game. And if you ever watch professional poker or play poker, I don't play poker, but I've seen it on TV and I have some friends who play professionally and do really well at it. They make a living at it. It's an amazing thing. I don't dabble in poker. I think I've played it twice and didn't really get into it. It wasn't my game, but I know how it's played and I've seen people play it in a certain type of poker. I'm not going to guess at what the type of poker's name is, so I don't guess it wrong, but in a certain type of poker, they give everyone two cards at the beginning. And what happens next is fascinating because they look at their cards. They look at them kind of privately. And if it's on TV, the TV will show what those two cards are, but the other players won't know. And they look at those two cards, and they either keep those cards or they throw them back toward the dealer. And they don't slide them back toward the dealer or hand them to the dealer. They toss them through the air to the dealer. They throw their hand. They're done. Right when they're dealt the cards, they throw them back. Now, what can you learn from that? Well, in the dating world, you can learn a lot. You don't have to accept the hand that you're dealt. If you're dealt a hand and it doesn't look like you can do anything with it, throw it back. Guess what happens next round? You get two more cards. Next round, you get two more cards. Why risk your stack of poker chips on a losing hand? If you walk into the tennis club and you're 23 years old, and there's no one else there who's below the age of 60, throw your hand. Get out. If you walk into the tennis club and you're the older person and everyone's so young that you can't relate to them, throw your hand. Get out. If it's not what you're looking for, get out. If you go to the park and it's just not your scene, not the kind of people you'd want to pick up anyway, throw your hand. You have to start getting into the habit of understanding the power of the word next. 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 There's going to be a next train. There's going to be a next bus. There's going to be a next poker hand. Next. There's going to be a next person. There's going to be a next opportunity. You do not have to accept the bus that shows up, or the train that shows up, or the poker hand that shows up. You can wait for the next. That's fine to do. Stop accepting everything that comes your way just because it comes your way. Just because you look at those cards and you think, oh, gosh, terrible cards, but those are the cards I have, so I'll play them. Just because you got those cards doesn't mean anything. Just because that person came up to you and asked for your phone number doesn't mean anything. You can toss your hand. You can say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not dating at this time, or I have somebody special, or no, thank you. Toss your hand. If you're not interested, wait for the next bus. Wait for the next train. That's fine. But at the same time, I want to make sure that you are getting a first date, so you're not tossing every single hand. If you're so picky that you're tossing every hand, no one's good enough for me, no one's good enough for me, well, I think it's time to look inside. If that's happening to you, and if you've isolated yourself because no one's good enough for you, you really need to look inside. You really need to open yourself up to new types of people, to new experiences, and start taking chances. So understand where you are and make adjustments accordingly. Other places you can meet people and get that first date. You can form a dinner group where you go to a different restaurant every month or a different house. You can go to wine tastings. You can get involved with your church. You can go on a mission trip. You can join a book club. You can go to places where bands are playing. You go to concerts. You can look online. Websites that form groups based on interests. There are a lot of different websites that do that. You can look at local newspapers, publications that include local events. You can get online and look at Craigslist. You can look at Facebook. You can look at Meetup. These are a few of the websites that are and web opportunities that exist at the time I'm making this recording. Who knows? By the time you listen to this recording, maybe these will have changed. Probably they'll still be around. There'll be a lot of others. But look online for possibilities about meeting people. Take a class. Even if you're not, quote, college age, don't worry about that. You'd be amazed at how many people aren't. You would be amazed at how many people aren't, quote, college age who take courses. You don't have to be 20 years old to go to college. Nobody cares anymore. You can go to college at any age. So take courses that are of interest to you. And guess what? If the course is of interest to you, probably the other people who are taking the course will be interesting to you also and will find you interesting. Take a beginning language class. Learn how to speak a foreign language. Take a cooking class. Take a real estate class. How about work? Even if you're not into your coworkers, which you shouldn't be, because you shouldn't be mixing business and pleasure, never a good idea, by the way. Dating coworkers, not a good idea. But your coworkers might have friends or relatives that you are interested in or who might be interested in you. And guess what? You might be at the copy machine, maybe you're 30 years old, talking to the guy who's 60 years old at the copy machine. You're thinking, well, I'm interested in that guy, but not this guy. But guess what? That guy might have a son who's interested in you. That's a possibility. So even if you're not finding the man of your dreams at work, which hopefully you're not, the man of your dreams might be related to someone at work or might be the friend of someone at work. What about business networking groups? Wonderful way to meet people, especially in larger cities. They have after-hours parties, after-business hours, meaning around 7 o'clock or so, or they have wine and so forth. Even if you're not a drinker, you can still go. You don't have to drink. But people are generally more relaxed there and talking. And there are other people looking for people also. Men go to these meetings all the time. There's no reason why you can't pick up a man at a networking group. Other things to think about: seminars, sporting events, the local coffee shop, bars and clubs, dating websites, speed dating. Have you ever done speed dating? Speed dating is a fascinating concept. You sit in front of someone for a few minutes and you find out about them and you take notes and you move on to the next person and you go through the evening like that, talking for a few minutes, moving on to the next person. You find out pretty quickly if you're interested in them and then you can follow up if you want to. Okay, so what about being on the first date now? Let's say you've taken my advice and you've gone out and you've gone to a seminar or a sporting event or a bar or wherever, and you've found someone, and this man is the man that you're going on the date with. Well, gosh, now what? You're on the first date with this person. Well, remember, you want to be confident when you're talking to him. You want to let go of judging him. I mean, if he's saying things and you're thinking, wow, that's really messed up. What he's saying right now is kind of messed up. I don't really agree with that. Well, the first date is not the time to say that. The first date is not the time to reveal that. In fact, you don't ever have to reveal that. If you think something about someone is just not right, you don't have to go on the second date. You can tell them that you're simply not interested. You don't have to judge them. So let go of judging on the first date. Be sure to smile. Remember, as I've said, the first impression is very important, and it usually occurs within the first few minutes. And remember that body language is so important. So much of our language, the majority of our language, the way we communicate, our communication comes from our bodies. We talk with our bodies. So make eye contact. Let your eye contact linger a little. Just a little. You're not staring, but you're letting it linger a little longer than you normally would just to look at someone. And here's a hypnotic technique you can use. Touch an area of yourself that you want the attention to be focused on. Now, don't blatantly touch that area, but you can touch around that area. You can kind of make a motion toward it with your hands. Not blatantly, like, look at this area of my body, but just in a very subtle way, you motion toward it with a seemingly natural hand gesture. Lean toward the man when you're talking to him. Lean toward him. If you're on a date and you're interested, lean toward him. When he's talking, nod. Show some interest in what he's saying. Copy his body movements. What he does, you can do. That's called mirroring. Doing what he does is called mirroring. You're mirroring what he does. Also, licking your lips, a very sensually appealing act. Licking your lips can be very alluring when a man sees you do this. Touch your legs, not blatantly again, and you're also not blatantly licking your lips constantly, but you're doing these things subtly. These are little subtle things you can add in that really will attract a man. They will really draw him toward you. Wink every now and then. Don't overdo this one. Just wink every now and then. Smile and wink. Okay, here are some things not to do. Don't cross your arms. When you're talking with a man and you want to attract him to you and you want to show him that you're interested in him, don't cross your arms. Crossed arms send a signal that you're blocking what he's saying, that you're not interested. Now, if you're not interested, then why not just end the date? Remember, toss your hand. And that applies to the first date also. If you're not interested in what's going on, if the date isn't working for you, look at those cards and throw them back at the dealer in a polite way. When gamblers throw their cards back, they don't throw them at the dealer. They don't hit the dealer with the cards. They toss them to the dealer and they land in front of the dealer. There's no need for you to waste your time. You value yourself and you value your time. If you're on a date and it's not working for you, you can say something like, oh, I didn't realize this, but I have something to do. There's also the old trick of having someone call you with a quote-unquote emergency. And you explain to the man that an emergency has come up. Well, of course, the emergency is that you want to get the heck out of there. That's still an emergency. Just explain to him that an emergency has come up and needs your attention. And that's okay. You can let yourself out of the date. He either may know what's going on or may not. It doesn't matter. The point is to get out of the date. Why are you going to sit there with crossed arms, not interested in anything he says if the date's not working? Toss your hand. You need to get used to flexing this muscle of walking out of things that aren't suited for you, that just aren't appropriate, that you don't feel like you're a part of. It doesn't give you a good feeling. You don't feel that it's going anywhere. Why are you wasting your time? You're wasting your time and you're wasting his time if you both stay there. So toss that hand, get out. But if you're in it, you're in it. So if you're in it, do not cross your arms. If you're crossing your arms, you're blocking what he's saying, and he's going to realize anyway that you're not interested in him or what he has to say. He's going to think he offended you and perhaps try to think of something else to say. So uncross those arms if you're actually going to be there. Another thing not to do, don't hide your hands. People want to see your hands. And again, we can take an example from the gambling world. When blackjack dealers are done at a table, when they're done dealing the cards and they've worked their 15 minutes, they usually work in shifts of approximately 15 minutes. When they're done dealing and everyone's either won some money or lost some money or what have you, it's all over. That dealer's shift is over. It's time for the next dealer to be your dealer. Well, when one dealer's leaving, they show their hands. They have a tradition of showing their hands. Now, why is that? That's because back in the day, there were apparently a few problems with dealers hiding things. You know, a dealer could be hiding a card, who knows? And that probably happened more often than it should have. Well, now it's a tradition that the dealer will show his or her hands when they're leaving. And the implication is, look, there's nothing in my hands. I haven't been hiding any cards. There are no cards in my hands. I'm honest. I'm real. What happened, happened as a matter of chance. Didn't have anything to do with me hiding any cards. When you show your hands, you subconsciously convey to the person that you're not hiding anything. No, you're not a blackjack dealer, but you're not hiding anything. You're showing your hands. When you hide your hands, subconsciously that sends a signal. Wait a minute. What's this person hiding? They may not consciously be aware of thinking that the person's hiding something, but subconsciously we're somehow programmed to feel that way. When you can't see a person's hands, what are they up to? Is there something? Are they texting someone on their cell phone? Is something going on? Why aren't they showing their hands? It just conveys, even before the realm of texting and cell phones and all of that, it just has always conveyed an air of dishonesty. So show your hands. I'm not saying that you have to wave your hands in front of the person's face constantly, but make sure that if your hands are out of view, they're not out of view very long. When you talk, do not cover your mouth. Some people, when they talk, they cover their mouths the whole time. When they talk to you, they just cover their mouths. Now, that can be for a number of reasons. Maybe they have bad breath. But subconsciously, it says something else. It says, I don't really believe what I'm saying to you. And if you feel that the person doesn't believe what they're saying to you, that's not good. That creates a problem. So when you cover your mouth, that subconsciously says to the person that you have some reservations about what you're saying to them. Either you don't want to be saying it or you don't believe in what you're saying. So don't cover your mouth. Just let them see your mouth and let them see the words coming out of your mouth. Let them see your mouth forming those words. Don't hide anything. If you have something to hide, think about it. If you're covering your mouth and you realize, oh, wait a minute, I realize I am doing this because I have something to hide. Well, why are you even talking to that person? Why are you talking to that person if you can't be honest with them? If you have something to hide, Why are you having that conversation with them? Think about that. Move on to a different conversation, one where you don't have to hide things. Okay, avoid getting too close and too touchy-feely with a man. So if you're getting too close and too touchy-feely, what you're going to do, at least in the first date, is give the impression that things are going to be very easy for him. Now, you don't want to make things impossible for him, but you don't want to make things overly easy. What happens, and maybe you know this from your lists from the past or just your experience from the past, what happens when you make things overly easy for a man? He sees that things are overly easy and that he doesn't have to try very hard. And what ultimately happens? He devalues you. You've changed that power dynamic, that oh-so-important power dynamic has been changed. So now you are in the subordinate position, he's in the superior position because he's thinking, oh, I've got her in the palm of my hand. I can do anything I want now. Even if you feel that's the case, you need to avoid showing that. And the way you avoid showing that is by not sitting too close, at least in the first date, not being touchy-feely, not allowing yourself to express all of that right off the bat, because that is the formula for not having the second date or being put into a category that you really don't want to be in. Well, maybe you do want to be in that category, but if you don't want to be in the category of sex only, then you need to make sure that you are not showing all of your cards, at least on the first date. You're not being overly, you're not making things overly easy for him. And the way we do that, the way we show that when you're dealing with a man is by not sitting too close and not being too touchy-feely. Another thing to avoid is staring. If you're staring at a man, it could mean one of two things. Neither of them are going to help you any. It could mean that you're just kind of spacing out and looking at him and not really paying attention, kind of like a zombie. That's not good, because that shows disrespect and that shows that you're not really paying attention. You're fixing your gaze and you're looking like you're paying attention, but you're not. So if you have a fixed stare, let go of that. The other thing it could show is that you're overly interested. And again, we get into the power dynamic. If you're just staring dreamily into his eyes the whole time, you may think that you're showing respect and love and showing all of these wonderful things that he's going to then take and realize, oh yes, I love and respect her too. But chances are, when dealing with a man, that's not going to happen. Chances are you're going to help him feel that he's got the upper hand, and he's going to potentially misuse that. He's going to potentially then start manipulating you because he realizes that he has an advantage over you. So even if you feel like staring into his eyes, do not do that. Look for a little while and look away. Look at something else. Look for a little while, then look away. Avoid staring. Okay, flirting. Now you may think, oh, wait a minute. I'm on the first date. I've positioned myself in the park or wherever. I've gotten the first date because I was there and I was approached by the right man and everything worked out. And now I have to flirt? I thought we were past that now because we're already in the first date. Well, flirting happens all throughout a relationship. I don't care if you're married for 60, 70, 90, a million years. Flirting needs to always be there. You always need to flirt. It doesn't stop. So flirting throughout the first date is fine. Just don't overdo it. Be complimentary to his looks or the way he acts or something he does. Now, avoid compliments that have to do with things. Nice tie, nice suit, nice car. These things don't have anything to do with him. These are just material things. They're not related to the individual. How about compliments like this? I like that car because it shows me that you have taste. Or, I like that tie because it really brings out your eyes. Or, I like that suit because it shows me that you're a businessman with class. You see, those compliments still tie in the material thing, but they are not about the material thing. They're sort of an excuse to talk about him, to compliment him. At the same time, you should be leery about compliments that have to do with your stuff, things that you own. These compliments should be ultimately about you. Make sure the person's interested in you and not things that you have. Another part of flirting is being attentive, paying attention to what he says, finding things you have in common. While you're in the conversation, find things that you have in common, find the common ground, and really accentuate that. Of course, be natural. That's part of flirting. You don't want to seem like you're delivering the next flirtatious line. Just allow yourself to be natural. Smile a lot, laugh a lot. Tell him that you're having fun, or that he's funny or interesting. Now, if he's not fun or funny or interesting, then you have to think to yourself, what am I doing here? Why am I in this date? And that might be an indication that it's time to toss your hands. If you go to deliver that compliment, you think, wait a minute, this person's not fun or funny or interesting. Maybe it's time to toss your hand. Maybe it's time to have the old emergency come up and get out of that situation. Maybe it's a little bit past your bedtime. Maybe you just remembered the important meeting you have tomorrow. Maybe it's time to toss your hand to wait for the next round of cards or the next bus or the next train. But if the person seems to you to be fun or funny or interesting, tell them that. That's part of flirting. That's part of letting them know, letting him know right up front that you're interested. Keep the conversation flowing during the first date. Make sure the conversation is flowing. Make sure you're talking, and make sure you're talking equally. Don't let him dominate the conversation. And if he continues to dominate the conversation, and if you're not comfortable with that, it might be time to toss your hand. Might be, unless you want that. Maybe you want someone to dominate the conversation. Maybe you want him to take the ball and run with it and talk all about himself. Maybe that's your absolute top thing on your list, that he talks a lot about himself. Who knows? Chances are it's not, though. Chances are you'd like some kind of give and take. So, in the ideal situation, make sure that you're both sharing. You share, then he shares. You share, then he shares. It's not just you talking. Here's what happened to me last week. Here's what happened to my cat. Here's what happened to my mom. Here's what happened to my car. Here's what happened to my child. Bam, bam, bam. Make sure you're not beating him to death with all these things about you. You may find them interesting, but chances are you're just saying them out of nervousness, because you don't know how to just sit there and be calm with yourself. You need to learn how to be calm with yourself. If you continue talking and you dominate the conversation, you clearly show that you're lacking confidence. If he continues talking and dominates the conversation, he clearly shows that he is lacking confidence, because he is trying to compensate for the fact that he's not comfortable letting you talk, or he's not comfortable with silence. He's trying to compensate for that by just talking and talking and talking. So make sure that you don't do that. So look for that in the other person, unless you like that, which is fine. But in most cases, people don't like that. So look for that in the other person and just evaluate whether you like it or not. And look for it, more importantly, in yourself, because you can't change the other person. That's another important thing to point out when you're dating men. You can't change them. They're not going to change. You can't take a man who's one way and make him another way. So let go of that. Get into the routine of tossing your hand and realizing the next two cards are on their way. Sit out this round. Let everyone else at the bar play their hand, or at the restaurant, or at the concert, or wherever you are, let them play their hand. But you don't have to. As trapped as you may feel, you're not trapped at all. That trap only exists in your mind as long as you focus on it. So realize that you can get out of it at any time. Now, in extreme cases, you may find yourself to be very fidgety when talking to a man, or feeling as if you're unable to stop talking. And if you find yourself in one of these extreme situations, you may use your judgment here, but you may want to share that you are shy or a little nervous. Admitting that you're shy or a little nervous, or whatever may explain your seemingly erratic behavior, can be a good thing. Because if you're continuing to talk and this man doesn't know why you're continuing to talk, well, he could make several assumptions. He could assume that you're on drugs. He could assume that you're a crazy person. But if you feel that your behavior is just beyond your control, which can happen, then why not offer the explanation? I'm sorry I'm talking so much. I'm just a little nervous. It's our first date, or I haven't dated in a while. Now, what you want to avoid is, I'm really nervous now because you're so attractive, so I'm continuing to talk a lot. You want to avoid things like that. Just saying that you're nervous is fine, and guess what? What's the next thing that he's going to say? He's going to say, that's fine. Or maybe he'll say, I'm nervous too. And then you have something else to talk about. But if you feel your behavior is getting erratic and that he may start making assumptions, you need to offer an explanation that's truthful and legitimizes what he's seeing. Okay, let's look at reality here. Let's have a little reality check and realize that you're not going to like everyone that you meet, and not everyone that meets you is going to like you. That's just the way it is. I can show you how to attract and pick up any man you want. I can show you that. And when we get into the hypnosis part of this program, I can show you that. But a lot of what you may be looking for has to do with a long-term relationship. If you are using hypnotic techniques to pick up someone and they're otherwise not interested in you, and you're just using these techniques to kind of trick them and lead them along, well, is that really any good? One day they may kind of snap out of it, so to speak, and realize, wait a minute, I'm not interested in this person. So I want you, as we go through this program, to use your common sense. Look ahead into the future. Now, if your goal is just to have a one-night stand and you want to use every hypnotic technique in the book just to make that happen, well, this is the hypnotic pickup method. I am going to show you how to pick up men. You can use these techniques for that. But if your goal is other than that, and you feel that you're having to throw out so many techniques just to get them to be with you for one night, well, it's a good chance that that's not a relationship. That's not going to turn into a relationship. That wasn't meant to be a relationship. So you've got to realize reality when you see it. So you're not going to like everyone that you meet, and not everyone that meets you is going to like you. That's just the way it is. So at a certain point, you will be rejected. It's just like the stock market. At a certain point, the stock market's going to crash. It's just like night and day. At a certain point, the sun is going to go down. That's just the way it is. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to get rejected every time, because you're not. In fact, the more dates you have, the more successes you have. The more rejections you'll have, the more successes you have. But the more successes you have, the more opportunities you have to make something happen out of that. So it is a numbers game. But you are going to have a certain percentage of rejection. Now, if you force it, if you use all of your hypnotic techniques and you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, you will have success. I'm going to show you techniques that are going to work if you keep on using them. And if you're trying to attract a man, I've got to tell you the truth, you ultimately will succeed if you just say and do the right things. That's just the way it is. But you've got to realize that forcing it and allowing something to happen with not a whole lot of techniques, there's a big difference between the two. And it's better for you to allow something to happen with just a minimal amount of techniques and to accept a certain percentage of rejection. Because a certain percentage of rejection means that you're being realistic about things. It means that nature is taking its course. It means that not everyone you're interested in is interested in you, and that's fine. And you've got to be fine with that. You've got to be okay with that. So get in your head right now that you're going to be rejected. Be thankful that he's not wasting your time or leading you on. Be grateful. Aside from those things, be graceful. When you are rejected, be graceful. Don't be angry. Be happy. Get in your head the idea of next, next, next. There's always someone else. You do not want to get in the habit of forcing people through your big bag of hypnosis tricks to like you. Because if you're having to prop this thing up, think about plates. Have you ever seen spinning plates? People put them on sticks and they spin them. You can actually put a plate on a stick, on a wooden stick, and you can spin it. And you can get a few plates spinning. Have you seen that? Have you seen people do that? It's very interesting if you've never seen it. But what happens the minute that person stops spinning the plate? It doesn't take much to keep it spinning. They just have to touch it every now and then with their finger. They can keep 5, 10, 20 plates, 100 plates spinning at the same time. They just have to push them with their finger every now and then to keep them spinning. What happens if that person walks away? For even a few minutes, all of the plates fall to the ground and break. That's what happens. So you've got to think to yourself, am I having to use so many hypnotic techniques with this person that if I were to stop doing that for even a little while, they wouldn't like me anymore? They would realize, hey, I don't like this person. So if you realize that that's what's going on, then you need to be okay with that. You need to realize, hey, you know, I'm manipulating this person and it's not right. Also realize that certain plates, they just don't really want to be spun. You know, you can spin them. You can make them be spun, but they don't want to be spun. Those are the ones who are going to reject you right off the bat. They're going to save you the effort of even putting them on that stick and spinning them a little bit. They're going to save you that effort. These are the guys who just don't want to be with you. And that is okay. Realize that that is okay. But ideally, what will happen is that you will reinvent yourself. You'll have new interests, a new belief in yourself, and you will appeal to so many men that it won't matter. You won't even care anymore. You're going to be a magnet. Even when you're with a man of your dreams, other men are going to want you because you are that powerful. You're that attractive. And it doesn't have to be physical attraction either. It can just be that thing about you that exudes confidence, that exudes, I am attractive. Okay, so you can have that going on. So even when you're with the person of your dreams, realize that you'll still be attractive. You're still amazingly attractive. But keep reality in mind, okay? Keep reality in mind. Certain relationships you can force, but you don't need to. You can always move on to the next. Okay, so when you're in that first date, remember, probably what happened is that he asked you out and you agreed to go out with him, so he must like something about you. Now, even if you asked him out, he still agreed, so he must like something about you. There's something about you, whether it's that you have $1 billion cash in your closet that you told him about, or you're the most beautiful person on the planet. Whatever it is, there's something he likes about you. There's some reason he's going out with you. So keep that in mind. As you keep that in mind, don't worry about messing things up or things not working out between the two of you. We've already been over that. We've already been over that. You have got to be comfortable when you're using hypnotic techniques and just being yourself. You've got to be comfortable with being relaxed. You've got to be comfortable with being comfortable. That means you're not forcing yourself to be comfortable. You just feel comfortable. How does that happen? That happens with experience. Once you have enough dates, you're going to start being really comfortable. You're going to get into a routine, hopefully a winning routine, that's going to allow you to assess the person and look at them, kind of like a scientist. Is this plant, animal, or mineral? And once I find out which of the three, do I want that? I do? Great. Play my hand. I don't? Toss my hand. So being comfortable with being comfortable comes from experience. So get in your mind that you're going to let go of worrying about messing up. When we let go of worrying about messing up, we are so much more fun. We're so much more interesting. We're so much more dynamic. We're so much more ourselves. When you try too hard, when you worry about messing up and you try too hard, you become really stiff. You become really uptight. That's not what you want. People do not want to be out on a date with someone who's really stiff and really uptight. Guys are not attracted to that. Guys are not drawn to that. Men don't want the woman who's really stiff or really uptight, unless, of course, you're dating a librarian or a rocket scientist or who knows. Maybe they're attracted to that. They're stiff and uptight, and they want someone else who's just like that. It's possible, but odds are that they don't want that. They want someone who's not crazy and just running around and acting like a nut all the time, but someone who's comfortable enough to relax, comfortable enough to mess up. Realize there is no messing up. You say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, so what? And once you get to so what, once you accept that so what attitude, that whatever, that who cares attitude, that's when you know you're there. That's when you know you have confidence. Once you are comfortable enough to mess up and to not care about it, that's when you know you're there. Now, that may be a little difficult to get to. That may take a little time, and that's okay. That's fine. But that's going to be your litmus test. That's how you're going to know that you're there. When you do something stupid, you say the wrong thing, you wear the wrong thing, and you just don't care. That's when you know you're confident. So, be okay with yourself. Let go of worry. At first, you're going to have to fake not worrying. But eventually, if you focus on being yourself, you're going to realize that you can let go of worry. Okay, so when you're on that first date, make sure that you're going somewhere that you're both comfortable. Don't let him take you to a football game if you don't feel comfortable at football games. Within the date, within the relationship, you can throw your hand also. See, in the relationship, you're going to get offered certain hands. Well, we can go here? No. We can go there? No. We can go there? Yes. You can throw your hand. You can wait for the next offer to come up within the date, even if you're talking about where to go. You don't have to accept everywhere that he says to go. Now, if you're not accepting anywhere that he says to go, get out. You don't have the same interests anyway. So if he says, let's go here, and you're not comfortable with going there, don't go. Speak up. Let him know. Maybe go for something out of the ordinary. Maybe go for something unusual, something that neither of you has ever done. It'll be something new. That adds to the idea of balancing the playing field, balancing the power dynamic. If you're going to his turf football game and you'd rather go to a ballet, for example, well, you're going to feel a little out of sorts unless he's already agreed that, okay, next time we'll go to the ballet. But why not go to something that neither of you has ever gone to? Maybe a lacrosse game. Or maybe you've never been to a soccer game. Maybe you can both go to a soccer game and neither of you actually has a diehard interest in it, but at the same time, you're not opposed to it either. You're both on board with going. You're willing to give it a shot. You won't be bored. You won't hate it. You're not exactly a huge fan of it, but it'll be okay. It'll be fine to go to. So why not go to something different, something that's on neutral ground? Now, you don't have to, but I want you to realize that you can get yourself into a trap if you're not careful, where you always go where he wants to go and where you start to resent him more and more because you always only go to where he wants to go. Don't do that. What about in the conversation? When you have said, now getting down to the microcosm of the actual conversations that are going on, when you've said what you want to say, ask him a question. Okay, so you've said what you want to say. Now ask him a question. I feel blah, blah, blah. How do you feel? If you just say, I feel blah, 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 the conversation could potentially die right there. It could be over. What happens when you have those spaces? You have the uncomfortable silence I talked about earlier. The uncomfortable silence is deadly. You want to avoid it. Avoid the uncomfortable silence. Have something to say. Now, if it's time to eat and you're both chewing, that's fine. You can have an uncomfortable silence. You don't have to talk with your mouth full or engage him in conversation when he's trying to eat. But if it's not eating time and it's not time to watch a movie or anything like that, there should be some kind of conversation going. And the way you keep the ball rolling, take responsibility now, the way you keep the ball rolling with him is that you say something, then you ask him a question at the end. That puts the ball in his court and he can then hit it back to you. He may or may not have the same social skills you have. He may or may not ask a question, but so what? You're taking responsibility and you're keeping it going. When you serve it back to him, you're going to serve it back with a question. When you make statements, why not pause between statements and allow him to say something? If you're just throwing out fact after fact, statement after statement, you're going to seem to be dominating the conversation. Men do not want to have you dominate the conversation in most cases. Now, there are a lot of variations on this, and perhaps you will be dating the type of man who wants you to dominate the conversation. And if that's the type of person you are and you want to dominate the conversation and he's okay with that, well, that's fine. But odds are that he wants to have an equal say in the conversation, so you should allow that to happen. Pauses between statements can be a wonderful way to do this. Say something and then zip it. Be quiet. Hopefully, he'll zip it too. But chances are, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know that he should talk and then zip it, but you do. And by doing that, you allow him to talk. You're not allowing him to dominate the conversation. If you see that happening, get something in there. Get in the game. Get in the conversation. Say something. You've got to make sure that you're not letting him bully you in the conversation. You've got to get your words in there. Otherwise, you might as well be watching a documentary of his life, sitting there listening to every wonderful, amazing thing he ever did. I don't really think that's what you want. I don't think that a person who's confident in themselves would want to just sit there and be dominated by a conversation. So get in what you have to say, but pause between statements. Now, realize that everyone's favorite topic is themselves, and I imagine that you're no different. Your favorite topic, like it or not, is probably yourself. My favorite topic is myself. The man you're dating, his favorite topic is, big surprise, himself. He may not even see it in himself. He may not realize that he's talking about himself. But chances are the things he talks about has something to do with him. Even if he's talking about a charity that he volunteers for, well, who's that really about? Is that about the charity? No. That's about him and how wonderful he is and how he volunteers for the charity or gives money to it or whatever he does. He's tying himself into it. Chances are you're dealing with a person whose favorite topic is himself. So, if you ever need help keeping the conversation going, first of all, you can get my course in Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis. Second of all, just keep it really simple and talk about him. Oh, really? Well, why do you feel that you should go to Africa and vaccinate babies? Whatever wonderful thing he's talking about that he does, talk about that. Talk about that. If you need a way to keep the conversation going, talk about that. The point is not so much to talk about yourself, because guess what? People don't want to hear about you. Like it or not, if he's asking about you, he's probably just trying to get you to be engaged in the conversation so that he can get back to talking about himself, or he's trying to make you feel that he's actually interested in what you're saying. Another reality of life, that man is interested in himself. He's interested in talking about himself, and he's not so much interested in talking about you or hearing about you, except to the extent to which he can use that to gain some sort of control. Now, I know that sounds negative, but by and large, that is reality. Keep in mind, I'm a guy. I'm talking to you as a man. I'm giving you this advice as a man. I know what I'm talking about. So keep in mind the hard, cold facts. He's interested in himself. And when he asks you about yourself, he's doing that to show an interest in you. Do not be fooled. His main interest is himself. If you want to keep the conversation going because it's died down, don't come in with, oh, and then my sister and I are going to go to Bermuda and go shark hunting. You can do that. You can say that. But you want to say at the end of it, what interest do you have along those lines? Or have you ever gone scuba diving? Or have you ever gone shark hunting? Get it back to him. Get it back to him. If the conversation is dying down, talk about him. Everyone's favorite topic is themselves. Okay, so what do men like to talk about? They like to talk about travel. They like to talk about food. They like to talk about current events. They like to talk about money markets. They like to talk about real estate. They like to talk about sports. a lot of things that they can talk about. But chances are you found from talking to him what he in particular likes to talk about. What shouldn't you talk about? Your life story. Don't spill your whole life story. If this works out, you'll have the rest of your life to talk to him about your life story. Doesn't need to hear it in the first date. He wants to know the you right here and right now. What's going on right now? Not your past or necessarily your future. Talk a little bit about your future, your goals, but what's going on with you right now? What'd you do today? Keep it current. Don't ramble. Don't bring up past relationships. Okay, in the next module, we're going to talk about the second date and beyond. We're going to talk about that. But how do I get to the second date? Let's take this first date and bridge that gap. How are we going to get to the second date? Well, the second date comes by telling him that you're interested. You don't have to flat out say, I'm interested in you, but you have to give some sort of indication that you're interested. You have to show some kind of spark of interest. You don't have to jump on him and say, I'm interested in you, but you have to indicate to him subtly or overtly that you're interested in him. Also, sometimes men like when you take the initiative and ask for the second date. Now, you don't petition him. You don't say, can we please have the second date, sir? That's not the way you do it. You can say something more subtle, like, oh, next time we get together, we should go to the hockey game. Or next time we get together, we should go to the art museum. Or next time we get together, let's go to the... Or next time we get together, let's take out my jet ski on the water. Whatever it is that you want to do with him next time, you see, you're talking about next time. You're not saying, do you want to go on the next date? Or will you please go on the next date? Or will there be a next date? No, you're implying that there will be a next date. It's not a question. There's no doubt about it. When we go on the next date, we will do this. Okay, so I hope you found this interesting and powerful and useful. And your homework is to get that first date. Go out and use what you learned in the first module about meeting men and have that first date and have those experiences and be yourself. And hey, make mistakes, but be yourself. Have fun. Don't worry so much at this point about having ultimate success with the man you're dating. The idea is to get those muscles working, get those dating muscles working, flex those dating muscles. And if you have to throw your hand, throw your hand. If you have to get out, get out. That's okay. But I want you to go out and have a date, have a first date with someone. Go ahead and do that. And then join me in the next module, module 3, where I'm going to tell you what to do on the second date and beyond. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day. Thank you.